Welcome back to the Wellspring Podcast. Today I am joined by Jaden, who preached for us Sunday. First of all, I want to kind of, I guess, apologize. It's been a couple weeks since we've done the podcast. We've had kind of a, it's been busy, but it's just been weird. We had camp, I guess, 2 weeks ago now. So a little over half the staff was gone at that. And then the following week, we just had people on vacation and just getting back from camp. And so we've missed the podcast here for a couple of weeks. So we're going to jump back into it and see if we can not make fools of ourselves. Just me and you, Jaden, let's do this.
Let's do it.
Well, first of all, thank you for preaching yesterday. It's always nice to... I thoroughly enjoy Scott's preaching. I mean, I think on some level, that's why all of us are here. If you have a bad preacher, it's kind of hard to stick around. So I enjoy Scott's preaching, but it is nice to hear other people preach, just to hear different perspectives and just fresh ideas, change things up a little bit. So enjoyed that. It was nice. Both Kent last week and you this week, it's been enjoyable to have you guys around. So
thanks. It's always a blast. I will say, however, you know, the week leading up to preaching, there's also a lot of conviction.
Yeah.
It's, you know, even studying for the sermon, like the facts about the world at the time and historically the context and comparing it to nowadays. And man, as someone who gets to has the opportunity to preach on a Sunday morning, there's a lot of conviction that goes in personally for me.
Yeah.
So I hope, you know, nobody thinks I'm preaching at them, but I'm studying with them for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So with that said, you know, you'll put hours and hours, I would assume 30 plus hours into a single sermon, whereas, you know, I'll read like three verses and I'm like, oh, wow, that's big takeaway. You know, like I might have a three sentence takeaway. I'm not putting hours and hours into text. What is some stuff you came across this week that just couldn't get into the sermon just due to time restraints or it didn't quite fit or whatever?
Yes. Yeah. So when studying for a sermon, there's a lot of different aspects of the word. So, one thing that I do when I prepare for a sermon, I have a worksheet that I actually got from Ozark Christian College from a preaching class. And it walks you through step by step. So, for example, it's you start out, you read the text, you ask questions about it, you make observations about it, and then you go to the literary context, meaning the passages surrounding your scripture for that week to kind of figure out what's really going on, which is really played a huge part into formulating the bottom line for this week. Yes, it's a passage about taxes in Matthew 22:15 mm-hmm. through 22 or 21. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember, but it's about taxes, of course. And whenever I read that, it's like, okay, pay my taxes. You know, that's easy to see. But to zoom out and see the literary context, that's another thing. So there's the literary, there's the historical context, and when I say historical, that means the world at the time, and also how we have been able to, the different insights we've been able to glean throughout church history. Mm-hmm. So that's why at Ozark, a lot of the times they'll have you look at a newer commentary, maybe from like Tim Keller or John Piper or something like that. Then they say, okay, go back to Calvin. What did he say? How about Augustus or Augustine, you know, and the church fathers and whatnot. So the primary thing that got left out of this sermon just for the sake of time was the historical context. And that's the Roman Empire at the time. If you want, I can tell you a little bit about some of the facts that I just was not able to fit in. It. So the big thing that I did not mention is how volatile the question was. Of course, there was the religious, the theological element of them asking Jesus about the pagan coin, if it broke the second commandment and whatnot. Mm-hmm. There's also the emotional aspect that they were heavily taxed and they were ticked off, which I would be too.
Ticked off now. Like my taxes are nothing in comparison.
I know. Yeah. I look at a sales tax and I'm like, this is awful.
Yeah.
But they had to pay like 49% is what some scholars estimate of their taxes to just different authorities. So they were mad. And then there's also the political element. So just to dive a little deeper into that one, the reason that it was so tense is because the Pharisees wanted to catch Jesus off guard by supposedly saying he was disloyal to the law. The Herodians, who were the Jews who wanted to integrate with the Roman Empire to a certain extent, they wanted to prove that Jesus was going against the Roman Empire. Either way, they just wanted to book him. But one of the things that the Herodians really feared was messianic figures or any kind of uprising. Mm-hmm. The reason being is a couple decades before, in AD 6, this guy named Judah of Galilee helped lead a violent, violent revolt in protest against the Roman authorities, specifically because of this poll tax that was instituted in AD 6. This poll tax would have been a tax for each person, each Jew, whether they liked it or not. And they had to use the denarius, which was a pagan coin, whether they liked it or not, whether it broke their the rules of their religion or not. So whether they liked it or not, after AD 6, they all had to use the denarius. But in reaction to Rome instituting that coin, there was a violent uprising. So it's more than just a let's book them. It's more of the Herodians were freaking out because they're thinking, how is this going to affect all of us?
Yeah.
You know, not just Jesus.
Yeah. That historical context is, I think, one of the biggest areas that I, as just a layperson reading scripture, misses, or I can spend the time to figure that out, but it's hard, like in my daily reading, to go back and figure that out. And as I was listening to your sermon yesterday, verse 22, I was really taken back by verse 22. When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left and went away. Wait, what? Like, this is kind of anticlimactic. And yeah. I think that historical context kind of answers that like some of the questions I have about that a little bit. Like just to be just kind of like so dumbfounded, you're just like, oh, well, all right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna dip out. Like that's not, I don't think we really see that a lot in scripture where the crowd just goes, oh man, okay. All right.
They're touche.
Yeah,
they walked out. Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to pick this passage is because I remember reading it and thinking, well, this is just what's so amazing about this? Their amazement is one of the reasons it made me want to dig deeper. And that's when you zoom out from just this passage and you look at both chapters 21 and 22, you realize, oh, they were amazed because Jesus was answering the deeper question. And that was their own idolatry.
Yeah. Jesus is kind of cool.
He's pretty good.
He kind of does that, you know? Sometimes I wish I could get to the deeper question and I miss it.
So yeah.
Same here. On Jesus. Another thing you mentioned yesterday, cane sauce. What's up with that? I just want to go on my tangent here. Nobody likes canes. They just like the cane sauce. Okay, the chicken's not good. You're all wrong. Fight me about it. What's up? I don't even know what it was. What was cane sauce? Was that what the tax is called?
Yeah, that's the Greek word for that poll tax you're referring to. Yeah.
It's crazy.
There's a website called Blue Letter Bible, and I'd recommend everyone. It's free. Mm-hmm. And just to look at the Greek translation, it'll show. And there's a button on there where you can press and figure out how to pronounce things, which is the only reason I was able to pronounce that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as soon as it said cane sauce, I was like, this is ordained.
Yeah. I do joke a little bit. I really do think that people overhype canes for the cane sauce, but whatever, you know, to each their own, that's fine. That is, I don't use Blue Letter Bible a ton, but it is an excellent resource.
Yeah.
And anything that can help it pronounce a word, I'm game for it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Your main point yesterday, I jotted that down so I didn't forget it or misquote it. But your main point was, when we forget that we are claimed by the King, we will chase anything. What are some like practical tips or practical advice you have just to help us remember that we are claimed by the King? Because I think that I agree with your assertion, but I think it's so hard to keep it in mind, like in your daily life, to remember that you are claimed by King. Like there's a lot of ramifications to that, one, but two, like how do we keep that at the forefront of our mind so we don't make stupid decisions in the day to day?
Yeah. The beautiful thing about Christianity is that it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be complicated, but it is costly.
Yeah.
So whenever you're following God, you're going to have to constantly be on your guard to know that you're claimed by the king. So I guess this kind of has to do with the illustration as well. Whenever I started out the sermon telling the story about Buc-ee's, how I don't think about Buc-ee's too much until I'm driving by. That's the same with a lot of gas station or stores, especially Buc-ee's is just the illustration. But the only way you know or you stay on track as to where you're going, you have your eyes on the prize, on the destination, is you have to keep looking at the GPS.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we can kind of see. I look at the GPS way too often, even if it's, you know, 89 miles of me going down the same road. I'm mm-hmm. checking it just to make sure there's not a road closure or something.
Yeah.
I think that's the same thing with the word. It doesn't have to be complicated, but it has to be intentional. So if it's something as simple as every day diving into the word, there's an app called Lectio Divina, or I'm sorry, Hallow. Mm-hmm. And they have a thing on there called Lectio Divina, which is a really cool quiet time. You can set that for 5 minutes. You can set it up to 30 minutes. There's resources for you to spend some quiet time with God in the morning just to reorient your day, to keep looking at the GPS, if you will. I know I'm hammering that down a little too much, but, yeah. But I think really a daily devotion or quiet time.
Yeah.
I also think taking a Sabbath is helpful. Doesn't mean you have to take it for the entire day. Not everybody's able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it's for a few hours in the afternoon, spend some quiet time in prayer. The hours fly by once you get used to it. So I'd say those would be two primary ways I would encourage people to start.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I had forgotten to circle back here about Buc-ee's, you know, get spiritual and then just, you know, really derail the whole thing about Buc-ee's. First of all, I love the way you told the story. I don't think most people in the audience knew where you were going the whole time. You know, I get your notes and help get lyrics and notes and pictures all set up. So I knew where we were going pretty much as soon as you started talking about it, but it was fun to just kind of sit back and watch everybody like kind of on the edge of the seats, like, where's this going? And then you just, you know, brought us back to the Midwest Mecca that is Buc-ee's. And,
that's good.
It was funny. I was telling you earlier though, I really couldn't figure out even knowing where we were going, even knowing you personally, I really had no idea. You told the story like it was your first time at Buc-ee's. So good on you. Great storytelling.
Thanks.
I don't know that my points matter, but you get a point from me. So congratulations.
I appreciate every time at Buc-ee's is like a first time, to be fair.
You're not wrong. And they're all different.
Yep.
So you never know what you're going to get. I'm afraid I'm going to lie about it, but I don't think the one in Springfield has a statue.
I believe it does.
Does it?
South side, I think.
Okay.
Of it.
I'm gonna have to look harder next time.
If I'm wrong, then maybe I'm confusing it with the one in Texas. But I'm pretty sure the one in Springfield.
I don't know. I know the first time we went, it was snowing enough that I was like kind of worried about getting out of my parking spot because they were plowing when we parked, and you know that you can't really plow very well around cars.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Just to say, I was a little distracted about some other things going on around me.
But, it's a beautiful place. Have you ever had their brisket sandwich?
Oh, yeah. They have a triple meat sandwich or something. That's my jam.
There we go.
It's like there is no dignity in eating that sandwich.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's good. I really liked, you know, you were joking, but the, you know, get to heaven and have to explain this to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It is kind of funny. Obviously, it was a joke, but I look around sometimes and wonder, like, you know, this is weird. Like,
yep.
The Buc-ee statue, like, we're not worshiping Buc-ee. We, you know, and maybe jokingly, we're like, we're pushing the boundary a little bit, but there's a big difference, but just kind of like that historical context of like the world before today, before the last, you know, I don't know, 500,000, yeah. 2,000, whatever it may be, years. Like idol worship is like like a very physical, like there is an actual statue that people are worshiping.
Yeah.
And now we just kind of like jokingly like put this beaver out in front.
Yeah.
I always enjoy imagining what heaven's going to be like. And that's one of those like, wow, this is weird.
Yeah. There's going to be some interesting conversations,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If they don't know already, I don't know exactly. I mean, I've never been to heaven yet.
Yeah, so me neither.
I don't know if they're, you know.
Yeah, I don't really hold to the theory that, you know, grandma's looking down on me.
Yeah.
But I also don't think that, I think that scripture kind of paints a picture that we will know, I'm hesitant to say everything, but we will have much greater knowledge than we do now. Yeah. And I suspect some of that is the context of Earth today.
Yeah.
I hope they know about Buc-ee's.
Yeah. Dude, Buc-ee's in the internet. How am I going to explain internet to somebody from 2000 years ago?
I can't explain the internet today. So.
Yeah.
All right. So last couple things I wanted to hit on. We've got camp headed out next Monday morning.
Yes.
The kids camp. We had the youth go 2 weeks ago and then the kids. What is that? First through fifth grade?
Third through sixth.
Okay.
Good to go. Yep.
Tell me about that. What's going on at camp this year? What's the theme? Where are you all headed? Tell me a little bit about it.
So we're going to Bolivar, Missouri. Mm-hmm. It's about what, an hour and a half away.
Mm-hmm.
It is a, we're going to, a college there. So it's not really like a cabin type of camp, but we're just getting to stay in the dorms and it's just really cool.
Yeah.
The theme for this year is the storyteller. So it's about how God is the author of all things, our salvation, the truth, the joy, basically talking about, God's sovereignty and his power over everything. So when they say the storyteller, it's like a storybook is kind of the vibe they're, mm-hmm. doing this year. The theme verse is Romans 11:36. It says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." So the kids are going to be learning about how God is all powerful and all loving and always present. So if you would, those listening, be praying for God to work in the hearts of these kids as they learn more about him. For some, they may not get to maybe not necessarily those in our church group, but those at the camp. There's a lot of kids out there who this might be their first time hearing about God. They're maybe just going with a friend or something. Mm-hmm. So be praying not only for the hearts of the kids in our church group, but everybody there that God will work.
Yeah. I know. I kind of fall into the trap often of thinking like the congregation as a whole, maybe I'm not actually sure. I fall into the trap of thinking like we're doing pretty good. We're church people. I wouldn't go as far as to say like we talk about the gospel too much. I don't think that's possible. But I don't often think we need to evangelize internally as much as we probably do need to. And to that point, at youth camp, there were seven kids that gave their life to Christ or however you want to.
Yeah, that's phrase awesome. That.
And I know we've actually got a couple of baptisms coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And so it's cool. Even if somebody kind of removed from the camp, it's cool to see that there are things happening like that. It does make an impact. It is important. And this is why we do these things. So,
yeah,
absolutely. I'm pretty excited. Youth camp got me more excited for kids camp even. So,
yeah,
it'll be good.
We're pumped. And I mean, every year, it is just a phenomenal camp full of, I mean, just the teaching's awesome. The worship's awesome. It's great. It's great. So
I'm
excited.
Yeah. Last thing, tell me about what's going on in the kids ministry. You did preach for us Sunday, did great, but your main role here is Wellspring Kids. So tell me a little bit about what's going on in the kids ministry. What do the people need to know that we don't know?
Yeah. So we're, about to jump into the school year. Of course, we're having our back to school splash on August 8th, that Saturday. So I don't want to if I get the date wrong, it's on a Saturday. Yeah. But we're getting to do that as kids are going back to school.
That's at the Schifferdecker Park?
Yep, Schifferdecker Park.
Okay.
Yep. Beyond that, we're going to be jumping into just the school year. So we're going to continue with Sunday classes, and we are going to begin open enrollment for our Wednesday nights coming up starting in September. We're going to be doing, we're going to call it Wellspring Kids Midweek. So that's going to be open enrollment for kids. And so, we're really excited for that. We're excited to see how God's going to work through that. Wednesday nights, I believe talking about just evangelizing and gospel centered, everything we do is driven by the gospels, gospel focused. However, Wednesday nights is usually a great time to really focus in on the discipleship of kids. Typically Sunday, you teach them the Bible story and we talk about kind of the basics of the gospel, because that's something they need to know every week.
Yeah.
But for those kids who also come to Wednesdays, that's whenever we have more small group discussion. We have a little bit more application as to like, what does this mean in your walk with God? And because of that, there's some more relationality, I guess is the word. Like, you're leading a small group, so you're able to help walk with these kids and see how they're doing each week. So it's a little personal. That's it. It's a little more personal than on a Sunday morning. So we're excited. And if anybody's wanting to, would like to help lead in any role with those, I mean, we invite them to do so, to hop on board, because it really is a lot of fun. And it's definitely something that I think God emphasizes in his word, to raise kids up in the faith and to partner with parents to make disciples.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's on good days, it's refreshing to be around kids. Like, they're just, they just see things differently. And you know, having young kids now, like, they just ask questions that are like really simple questions, but you're like, oh, I don't know. That's a good question. You know, we just get stuck in like these big theological conversations sometimes, and we just kind of forget the small, like the basics, even if you will. And so it's really a good time. Being around VBS was a lot of fun. Just seeing the kids just wrestle with these fundamentals that as we grow older, we kind of forget about or move past or whatever.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable to spend time around kids and be able to pour into them and invest in them. So,
and also to see the leaders who pour into them. I was just amazed. So we've had the most help at VBS this year than any of the other years I've been a part of. And I am just the heart of these leaders and the way they can work with the kids, and they have so much patience with the kids, because, you know, sometimes kids have a rough day, and I mean, they are showing them the love of Christ. Yeah. And it is a great honor to be able to do this for a living, you know? Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. I'd mentioned that in the announcement video a few weeks ago. Like, I didn't use the word honor, but it is, that's a good word for it. It's an honor just to kind of, to be on the sideline or in the background, just kind of watching the church pour into the church. Like, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of our job is kind of just like facilitating that to happen. And so seeing it actually work, it's an honor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, well, great. That's what we've got. That's the Wellspring podcast for you. We want to thank you guys again for listening. And as weeks go on, if you've got any questions that come up during the sermon, we would encourage you to submit those. You can find that by scanning the QR code on the back of the worship guide or on our website. Click the Connect tab, and there's a button there to submit a question for the podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.